The local elections are coming at us hard and fast, and on the 24th there'll be three fine candidates here in front of us, and we'll be talking about the good times, hopefully, what they're going to bring, the good times for us in East Cork, and if and when they get elected. And, you know, fair play, I think, just saying off air that I have fierce admiration for anyone that puts their hand up and says, look, I want to be a politician, I want to serve you for the next 4 or 5 years, however long the term is. I think it is a marvellous. Lots of politicians get shot all the time, well, shot down and get bad abuse and all that, but you must put your head above the parapet if you feel strong enough about things, and there's only one way you can change stuff, and that's get involved. And I do admire every single candidate that goes out there, whether or not their policies would be a different matter, but that's everyone have their own in that sense. But, you know, anyone that stands up and says, and we should really appreciate how their listeners, because, you know, it's very easy to sit down and give out, say, this one, that one, the other one, they've done this, they've done that, they don't know, why didn't they do this? No one will do anything unless you'll do it yourself. You know, there's no old saying, do it yourself or don't do it at all. And look, I think that's a great thing. And I'd like to, the three new candidates for three parties. I know there's a few more candidates out there, and we'll get around to them as well. And, you know, we'll be going to across the border as well, to the West Waterford, and we'll be talking to a few on that as well. But I'm going to start off with now, Dr. Rosario, of course, Griffin, she's no stranger to this studio, I know that as well, and I just want to ask her to introduce herself. Welcome, Doctor.
Oh, thank you, Rosario, will do. Rosario, everybody knows me as Rosario. So to introduce myself, I suppose, first and foremost, I'm a mother of two young children, and I originally qualified as a teacher in secondary school. I taught in Middleton and Carrigtwohill and other places around Cork before I went on to become a researcher, and now I'm a lecturer at UCC. I've always been interested in politics. I wanted to get involved a number of years ago, but at the time it wasn't possible for personal reasons. My children will tell you that I'm forever almost throwing my high heels, as my daughter calls them, my high heels, at the TV when I get frustrated. You know, I get frustrated at the lack of progress. I get frustrated at, you know, the lack of action. And as you said there, quite rightly in your introduction, I think the only way to do it was to get involved. And I became involved in the Fianna Fáil party because, you know, for me, they were a perfect fit. My ideals in terms of, you know, being out there for the working person, standing up for social justice issues. I felt that their policies and their core ideals were exactly where I was at. I have lots of political blood in me. I have a lot of family members who were in the past TDs for different parties. So I'm not a purebred per se, but I'm a mongrel, I suppose, in that respect. But I'm very political. I've always been political. Every organisation I've ever been involved in UCC, I was governor for a number of years. I was elected to that office. I was elected as president of my students, of the students when I was in college. So I'm no stranger, in a sense, to elections and to politics and fighting my corner and getting things done. So I kind of felt, look, why not? They're looking for women anyway. We need more representation on the ground. And again, there's no point in complaining. You know, you have to put yourself forward, and then hopefully the electorate will vote for you.
And next in line, we have John Phillips. Welcome, John.
Thanks very much, Michael. My name is John Phillips. I'm from Youghal. I live in Youghal. I'm a manager in the Red Store for the last 7 years. I suppose for anyone that doesn't know me, I came back to Youghal from college in 2008. I went to Galway to study hotel management, got my degree in hotel management, came back, and I started working in Red Barn in the Quality Hotel again. I was there previous to going to college, and I'd know the area very well. Red Barn, Gortrue, Killa, and Youghal. I'm a father of two. My wife and myself live in Youghal. Our oldest girl has just started her education in Youghal, and I feel that I'm well known in the town because of my acting. I do a lot of acting with Youghal Theatre and other theatre groups. I've been involved in Youghal when they had a steering committee for the Fair Trade Town. I was on the steering committee. I was involved in the steering committee for Rebel Week when that was going on, the music event week. I suppose last November I spoke to David Stanton. I know David Stanton since I was 16, and I've been involved in Fine Gael since around that time. Last November, David said to me that there was an opening for someone in Youghal to be running for the local elections, and I kind of thought about it and I went home, spoke to my family about it, and I was very interested. I think Youghal needs more representation. We are a town that has only one sitting councillor representing us on the council. We need to have representation. And I thought about it well, because it involves, as you said, Michael, putting your head over the parapet. It's not the easiest decision to make, and I felt that I bring a lot to it. I feel I have a lot of empathy with people. I'm a problem solver. Day to day, I'm dealing with people in my job. My job is about dealing with people, helping people, managing people. I see these are the skills that are very transferable to the council work. And I felt that I had a history with Fine Gael, and that running with them is a good fit. We have three candidates running, myself, Susan McCarthy and Michael Hegarty. Geographically, it's a good fit, one in Youghal, one in the middle of the constituency and one in Middleton. And I think that I have the passion for it. I have the empathy for it. I have the drive for it. And I look forward to running for the council and hopefully getting a seat on the council.
And of course, I suppose if the wits were out there, they'd say you have good preparation being an actor. joke. But anyway, yeah. Well, look, that's the way it goes. And finally, another Youghal man below in the corner, and we have Shane. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Shane Neville. I'm running for Sinn Féin in East Cork, and my running mate is Councillor Danielle Toomey, who's based in Middleton. A little about myself. I'm from Youghal. I grew up in Summerfield and I went to school in the CBS on the Golf Links Road. I'm now living in Knocknacally, which is up the top of the new line. I'm married to Michelle and have two grown-up stepdaughters who unfortunately have left Youghal and therefore can't vote for me. In my long-lost youth, I went to the States, spent a few years there. I joined the US Marine Corps over there, where I gained the rank of corporal. And when I came home, I studied for a law degree by night and then started my own business. Why Sinn Féin? I joined Sinn Féin because, as Martin McGuinness said, it's a party on the move. The party is disciplined, united and focused on its aims. The aims are simple. It's a united Ireland and equality. Why you should vote for me? I'm a local, and if elected, I'll focus on local issues. There's more than enough. And as myself and Danielle are running in the area, Danielle is in Middleton, myself down in Youghal, we'll cover the whole area, I think.
Okay, thanks very much, Shane. Indeed, to the three well spread out geographically. Your bubble is good, I think, Rosalie.
No, I'm in Middleton. And oh, I was in Killer for 10 years.
Okay, so. Sorry, I thought you, there was someone said you were in Lisgoole.
No, although it was my Lisgoole Cumann who proposed to me.
That's what the mix is. Okay, right, okay, fair enough.
But I'm Middleton, born and reared, and I suppose, like I said, I spent 10 years in Killer, and I would have been down in Youghal a lot, apart from the radio here, which I've been involved in almost for 10 years now. I've also obviously had all my holidays in Youghal growing up, and I'd have a lot of interaction with the town. I'd lots of cousins living here and that kind of thing, so Youghal is like a second home really.
Yeah, well, it's to us all the stage, don't come down here to the studio and all that, you know. Have you what hobbies do you have? Or
Well, I'm sort of very much involved in my children's hobbies, and my girls are involved in Camogie. So Middleton Camogie is quite big at the moment, and obviously we play all the local teams in, for the matches that are Father O'Neill's, rather, would be a very strong team locally. And so I get involved in all that. I'm involved in the rugby. Obviously, as I mentioned, your local radio here as a volunteer for the last 8 to 10 years, I think, since Dara first got me involved. And And I suppose myself, I run. Yes, I do run, and involved in the local athletics club. And again, I've been down here for the Emer Casey run every year, and supported it. And if I can't support it physically, I usually give them all a plug on Radio Youghal as well, just to make sure that there's a good crowd, good turnout for such a good cause.
Okay, and talking about Camogie, Kieran's getting his report ready there. He will be bringing that in a minute. The girls, the public school girls, fair play to them. They had a very big win by 3-11 to Causeway Comprehensives 1-4 above in public school this evening. Kieran covered the game there. He's typing up his report there. We'll be going to him probably just at the start of the second half of the show. But, you know, Rosary, there is a great growth in ladies participating in Camogie and Gaelic football. And rugby, you know, physical sports, if you, for the want of a better word.
Yeah, and in a way it's about time, you know. I think, I suppose in a way women have been, I don't want to say sidelined, but it certainly haven't been offered, we'll say, the same opportunities as their male counterparts, and certainly hasn't got the same attention on radio and television up until recently. But of course that's changing now, thanks to the likes of you here and even himself doing the report here, which we look forward to hearing. So it's on the up, it's on the rise. I mean, the clubs are growing exponentially, and I think it's fantastic. It's great for kids to be away from their iPads and their iPhones and all that crack, and out getting a bit of exercise, getting involved in local sport. You know, it's, you, I mean, you can't just praise it enough, and you can't encourage it enough.
John, your hobbies?
I suppose, as I said, one of my main hobbies is acting. I've been involved in radio plays here in Youghal Radio. I started acting in Youghal when I was 12 with Cinderella. I didn't play Cinderella, now I played someone else in the pantomime. But I think that extracurricular activities are very important for everyone, no matter if you're working or if you're in school. It's very important to be involved in your community and be involved in what goes on in your community and get to know people in your community through extracurricular activities. The lady who seconded me at the convention, Geraldine Brown, would have been one of the committee members of Youghal Little Theatre at the time I did my first play. So it just goes to show how when you meet people in life who are involved in things, it follows through your life and it helps you out. Other than that, I'd have a keen interest in all the sports in Youghal. It'd be hard to work in a bar and not talk about sports. I manage the Red Store, and like 70% of small talk is sport talk. I love rugby, soccer, GAA. I follow every Irish sports person, whatever they do. I suppose being out and about the place with my kids as well would be a big activity. There's nothing like kids to involve you in stuff. I see, like, my small ones started speech and drama already and things like that, and I suppose they'd be my main extracurricular activities.
Okay, you can say that again once your children start getting involved with stuff, you get sucked in very quick, as well I know. But look, that's part of that, and it should be too, because, you know, you have to support them and support the clubs, and, you know, I suppose lots of clubs, you know, I suppose I don't see it as much now, but maybe 10 years ago, I was very much involved in GA, especially at juvenile level, and a lot of the kids were just dropped. But that's not happening as much now. The parents are actually stopping and getting involved and so forth, and, you know, it is great to see that, because, you know, there's no club, be it GAA or soccer or rugby or acting or whatever, there's no club, a babysitting club really, and, you know, people should get involved, and they do. Shane, yourself?
Yeah, when I was in the States, I spent a lot of time trying to learn to fly to get a pilot's licence. Didn't quite make it, but got a lot of it the way there. At home now, I spend a lot of time working outside and around the house. When I had the business, all my time was in the business. We went out, did the work, and then came back to the office and did all the work that was associated with that. And right now, I go to work and then I come back, and it's Sinn Féin activities. So it's activities around the local area, going out canvassing, leafleting, or it could be going, there's something on in Cork, Dublin, Belfast, Care, wherever there's something happening with Sinn Féin, I'll head to that.
So you're very much involved in the party as
absolutely at the moment, very much so. I'm just with Sinn Féin just over a year, so I'm getting my feet into it. But yeah, very much. There's something always happening somewhere around the countryside, so we go to it.
You said you were in America and you served in the Army.
The Marine Corps,
yeah.
Much better than the Army.
Much better, yeah, well, that's what they say. How did that come about?
I got a green card and I was over in New York labouring, and I used to pass a Marine Corps base every day, so one day I just went into it and had a chat with a couple of the Marines there and decided it's a good idea, and I joined up, so I did. And then I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and part of that, then I was in Japan for 2 years, based in Japan for 2 years, and all over the States then for the other 2 years.
Right, you weren't involved in any conflict?
No, I was very lucky. I missed out the first Gulf War by 4 years and the second Gulf War by another 4 years.
And if you were passing at Army base again, or the Marine Corps base again, would you go in and join? No? Looking back?
They wouldn't have me. Not right now. Yeah, absolutely. It was good fun. It was educational in a lot of different ways. And it gave you a sense of self-discipline that I don't think anything else would ever give you.
Okay, thanks. I know Rosalie has been involved in the radio here. John have done some acting here, and this is your first time here, Shane.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, but fair play, you're doing grand. And, you know, I suppose, look, we're a community radio station, and we try to serve all the communities best we can. So, you know, if there's anybody listening out there and they're standing for an election that we don't know about, just ring us in, either West Waterford or East Cork. We'll treat both sides the same. So you can ring in, or if there's any question for our three candidates here as well, you can text straight to me here at my own phone at 0876747549, or text into the studio, which will probably be better, 0876 7254 745, or I think Michael's outside on the phones, 024 91199. So we'll drive on from there, and we'll go back to Rosary. I suppose during the break we were talking about, you know, the social media and what effect it has on politicians. It didn't always a very nice effect, even though it can I suppose it can be a big help to candidates. No?
Yeah, it's a mixed blessing like everything else. On one hand, I suppose it's a great platform, especially for the younger generation. Now, like people like myself are only still getting used to it. I wouldn't be what they call a digital native. I suppose I would have come to it a bit later. I was a bit of a technophobe, really. But it's a very powerful medium in terms of getting a message out there. And I suppose, you know, you could see that in various campaigns. But the downside is, of course, that it can be very damaging, you know, for people, because it's very easy for people to fire off from their armchairs and, you know, criticise other people without actually getting involved themselves. And it's not nice. And I was just saying here to Shane that I was on the train yesterday coming from Dublin, and I met Leah Nirirda, and we had a conversation about this, about how, you know, the amount of vitriol I think she experienced on social media after the presidential election was horrendous. You know, some of it what they call trolling now, which is like really negative people passing negative comments. So she ended up blocking them, and she was right. I mean, you can't take that on board. You know, you can only do the best you can. Not everybody's going to be pleased. You can't please everybody anyway. So not everybody's going to be happy with you or what you do, but all you can do is your best, you know. And I think as long as people are doing their best, they should be given a fair shot at it, you know. So social media, again, like with younger kids, is a real issue, you know, trying to get them off it. I mean, it's a form of addiction, really, I think. But it, again, like everything, it has good sides, you know. It's our access to the wider world, but the downside is you know, there's a lot of bad people out there, really, unfortunately. And we don't like to talk about that or even think like that, but we have to protect our young from social media as well.
Shane, your party councillor, Danielle, she uses social media to very, very good effect now.
She does. She has a Facebook site up for the area, and she's got over 3,000 members on it. So that's a lot of people that she's connected to. And it's much easier to allow people to get in touch with her with any kind of issue through Facebook, rather than having to ring up the office, because she's not going to be able to talk to 3,000 people at once. But on Facebook she can read it and then immediately get in touch with whoever she needs to be able to fix it. So yeah, it's much better. It's much easier for people to both get in touch with the counsellor and then for the counsellor to deal with the problem.
Yeah, and for people like me as well, you know, because you can see what's happening, and you know, like, you'll have to go trawling through papers or whatever, and you see it's coming up in front of you, and it comes in front of you. So yeah, I'm very well aware of Danielle. She's very good at that, actually.
And then it allows you to connect to pretty much everyone of all ages, and it's not just Facebook. There's Twitter. There's all sorts of social media out there, and if you can get onto these social medias then you can connect to a lot of people. The downside of it then is, one of the downsides is, you can spend a lot of time on the social media. Like, I know a lot of people who spend hours on Facebook.
Well, I know two people now that's just on the couch and be watching television, but they'll still be on their phones, and I'm one of them, and the wife is the other one. Anyway, that's the way it is now. Today, yesterday, I mean, we're old enough to know better. But John, have you any plans to start up with social media to part of your campaign?
Yeah, I suppose you have to have a social media aspect to your campaign. Everything has a social media aspect now. The Red Store, we have our Facebook page, we have an Instagram page. Myself, I have a Facebook page, I have an Instagram page. Do you know, social media is very important. Also very important to get out and meet people, know people in the vicinity, be able to recognise people. And I suppose it's very different dealing with people face-to-face than it is on social media. Sometimes on social media, it's a lot easier for people to give you the negative. And I suppose we all know that when things are in a text format, context and emotion doesn't come into them as much. And, you know, like you could say something to someone in person and you could say it to someone in text and it sounds very different. So I suppose definitely my campaign will have a social media aspect. I am, in my job, I'm a very face-to-face person. I'm dealing with people. Once I'm in the door of my job, I'm dealing with people till I walk back out the door of my job. And I suppose that'll be reflected in my campaign as well. You have to strike a balance between your social media presence and your real world presence, for want of a better term, I suppose. And I'm hoping to do that.
Of course, this time around, there's an extra seat in this constituency, or in the Milton area. So I suppose whoever with it, it is making it a small bit easier. I'll start with Shane on this.
Yeah, I mean, there's an extra seat, but you've still got to fight for it. So it's as far as I'm concerned, it makes no difference at all to me, in that we're going to go out, we're going to knock on doors the same as we would, no matter how many seats are there. So we'll talk to as many people, gain as many an insight as to what the people's problems are around the area. And coming up to the election, I'm kind of lucky that Danielle is there, in that if there's an issue, I can take it directly to Danielle. Danielle can fix it. And hopefully, if we fix problems for people before the election, then they'll give us their vote. And even after the election, if the two of us can get in, then there's two Sinn Féin candidates, two Sinn Féin councillors that can help deal with people's issues in East Cork. And it makes it much easier to do that if there's two of us there.
But of course, Danielle, it is her actually first time standing as well, even though she is a county councillor. Yeah. She was co-opted when Pat Buckley became a TD. So, you know, it is kind of unusual to have two candidates that never actually ran an election before.
Yeah. The difference being that Danielle now has a few years' experience behind her and she knows what she's doing. She's, like, for example, down in Castlemarcher, she's in the process now of building the footbridges on either side of the bridge. So she's doing a lot of good for a lot of people. She's out there constantly. And only last night we were in Castlemarcher and we were talking to a man and he was saying his wife has been talking to Danielle constantly and she's very good. So Danielle, she's worked very hard, so a lot of people know her and know she's doing a good job. So hopefully that'll be a plus when it comes to voting time.
John, you have a council very close to you, Michael Hertie, long time. He's the father I don't think there's anyone served longer than him. I could be wrong on that now, but you know, Ballymacord is very close out here, and you know that. And you know, how can you see that working?
It'll work very well. I know Michael for a long, long time. I made a small joke in my convention speech that Michael has been on the council since I was one, and he's been there since 1985, himself and Noel Collins probably around the same time.
Collins is the only
person that has more than him. Yeah,
you're quite joking. Yeah, I'm wrong.
But
yeah.
Michael has certainly the Ballymacode area, he has the Ladies Bridge area, he's all around those areas, Castlemarcher, McGeely, everywhere around there. There is definitely the scope to have another councillor in Youghal. We have only one sitting councillor in Youghal. We need representation in Youghal. We need the people to get out and vote for local councillors in Youghal and the surrounding areas, because you need to be able to look back and say the people who you vote for are the people who are going to help you with your issues. And I don't see the geographical split that we have with the three councillors, myself, Michael and Susan, would be very fair, and we'd each have enough of an area to support ourselves and to look after.
So you have that, Fine Gael, have that, have the strategy already that you're in three different areas?
Obviously, we're looking at the whole of the constituency.
Yeah.
But as a person based in Youghal, with Youghal, Killa, Gertrude, Redbarn, that's generally where I'll be canvassing. I'll be up canvassing the whole of the constituency, but looking mainly at this area. I feel, as a person who lives in Youghal, who's worked in Redbarn, who knows Killa, Gertrude, Inch, that we need more representation down here. I mean, you were saying about the extra seat. It's grand having an extra seat. It'd be grand having an extra 10 seats. But Youghal needs to put people in those seats. The surrounding areas need to put people in those seats. And I think that's my goal, is to get in from Youghal with the support of Youghal people and the surrounding areas.
Rosalie, you're new to, you're standing for the first time, but you're not new to politics. You've politics in your blood. You have your family and so forth. So
yes,
you know what the hard skin that's needed going out there and talking to this. So yourself and Michael Ahern, I suppose there's a possibility of a third candidate being added. I see. But I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. You don't either, I presume.
I don't. I haven't had any word on that yet. I know that at the moment there's only two selected. There may be a third. I suppose, Aaron, as you know, Aaron O'Sullivan, who came second in the polls last time as our Fianna Fáil candidate, unfortunately for personal reasons had to step down mid-term, and his seat was taken by Michael Ahern during that convention that we had mid-term last year. So, and Michael, as you all know, has been around the block a lot, and so as a former minister and councillor, knows the ropes very well in order for things to get done. And in a way, I suppose that level of experience and maturity to have it on the council already is invaluable, because obviously you need people who know the ropes to get things done. And also I'm working closely with Paddy O'Sullivan as well. Now, Paddy has a clinic here in Youghal every Saturday. He was here this morning, actually, we were chatting, and he's in the Walter Raleigh, in case people didn't know, every Saturday at 12 o'clock. And again, Paddy, as a sitting councillor, is excellent. You know, he's got so much done for people locally. But obviously, I suppose what I'd have to offer is my level of experience of sitting on boards and getting things done. So, for instance, if we want more enterprise in Youghal, you need people who can find out the grants from Europe and see what tourism needs to be done. For instance, the pontoon is in the pipeline. Youghal has huge potential as a tourist destination. Now, you need to know what grants to get from where in order to get that kind of investment in. What buttons push within the council, getting the IDA involved, getting the Department of Heritage involved, because as we know, Youghal has huge potential. St Mary's Collegiate Church, the Clock Tower, I don't need to tell you, you know, the Walter Raleigh Quarter even, you know, all of that is huge history. The Blackwater, I grew up in the Blackwater, so, you know, and the fishing potential that would bring, you know, if it were, you know, marketed and we got the right companies in here. The other thing, of course, we need is enterprise. I mean, you know, unfortunately, during the recession, Youghal especially suffered a huge downturn, and what we need to get jobs back into the economy. Now, tourism will do it to a certain extent, but tourism, as we all know, is seasonal. So what we need is proper investment, and I think the high-tech industry now is ideal, you know, for somewhere like Youghal, because American companies would love to see themselves based in a beautiful surrounding of Youghal, and the nature of high-tech companies that can bring in thousands of jobs, the likes of Google and Apple, I mean, they should be attracted down here. So you need strong voices, not just thinking parochially. You need to start, you know, Youghal needs people who to start thinking, looking outward and saying, look what we have to offer. Now, CRY in and of itself is 40 years in existence and it's online now. It's reaching out to the world. But that's the kind of thing we need to start bringing into Yall. And it has huge potential. I know it compares itself to Killarney and Clonakilty, but I think Yall has so much more to offer. Its natural beauty, its level of historical monuments around the place, the Yall old walls, everything to do with Yall, and the beautiful, you know, the fishing boats even. I mean, it would be ideal, for instance, to have a marina here. If we had a marina here and offered cheaper rates than they do in Kinsale, you'd get a lot of boat owners coming down here and looking at property, then property prices would rise. So, I mean, it's a multiplier effect. It's a knock on effect. We have to start looking at the bigger picture. I mean, it's grand to be, you know, potholes are very important and we know streetlights are very important. They all have to be done. The infrastructure is hugely important and housing, of course. I mean, housing has to be dealt with. But also, in tandem with that, you need to be looking outward. You need to be getting in the outward investment into Yall. And I think unless you actually have people who know what they're about on the council and fighting, you know, shouting loud and fighting for Yall, it's not going to happen. It hasn't happened and it's not going to happen. But when is it going to happen? Who is actually going to start shouting loud enough for people to actually listen to the people of Yall?
John, do you want to come in on that?
Well, I'd like to say the people of Yall are shouting loud enough. Certainly, David Stanton has done a huge amount of work, seen and unseen, in Yall. Marilyn Foley and Dave Stanton have worked very well together in the last while to get stuff done in Yall. We have the green lighting of the Greenway, which is absolutely huge for the town, for the tourists. Perspective, and tourism is a year-round enterprise in Yall. It's not seasonal, really. Historical tourism is a year-round enterprise. St Mary's Collegiate Church is celebrating 800 years in existence next year, 2020. That's there all year. The town walls are there all year. We have the sea, which is fishable all year round. And I think definitely Yall needs to attract industry. Yall possibly needs more infrastructure to attract bigger industry. Hopefully with the new Dunkettle roundabout exchange flyover, and then maybe the bypassing of Killa and Castlemartyr to create a bigger roadway that would handle bigger traffic, that'd be huge. But I do think that while we say about not being parochial, yes, obviously being the town council isn't just all about potholes and lights. To be nice, have more lights on in the town. We do need to be able to kind of realise that working locally is about working locally. And definitely you can see with the likes of David Stanton TD how you can use the national framework to work nationally for the town and use the local framework to work locally for the town.
Shane, what's your views?
Yeah, well, you've got to start parochially, but you've got to start locally and then expand. So one kind of issue would be Cork Hill is a mess. So if you started at Cork Hill, a priority there would be to have the roads repaired, traffic lights installed. I don't know if many people know this, but Martin Hallinan, when he was in the council, succeeded in getting the council to buy the lights. And this was years ago. But unfortunately, because of complaints, they were put in storage and never used. So, I mean, work on issues like that. Let me see. The Iron Man is coming to the area. That's going to be a huge economic boost. There's going to be events everywhere. Middleton is closing off the main street and is going to have a street carnival. But because the main streets and the roads are going to be used for the Ironman and the associated events, alternative routes are going to have to be used by everyone, including the thousands of tourists. And we want these tourists to come back. So the alternative routes need to be of a good standard. Let me see. Another issue would be housing. Housing is a nationwide issue. And if elected, I'm going to work to convince the government to let the county councils build affordable houses on state land. This will get more families into homes quickly and at the same time bring houses down and free up renting accommodation. That's better for Yall, East Cork, the whole country, really. And even though I'm from Yall, I won't forget the other areas of East Cork, which are, say, Mogilly, for example. I've been out canvassing in Mogilly and some of the residents out there want speeding signs put in place in the Dungourney site, and the hedge is to be cut back at several wing mirrors have been knocked off. So, I mean, if you bring up the local things and get them fixed, then we have a better chance of fixing the bigger things. yeah, that's kind of it. Another thing that's been brought up to me is dog fouling. Dog fouling in the area is huge. It's driving people absolutely nuts. And again, to relate that to the Ironman, if you're going walking down the beach and step into a dog turd, your happiness is going to be upset pretty much immediately. But we have a lot of competitors down here now training for the Ironman, and they're running along the beach, stepping into dog turd again. That's not going to leave a good impression. If we have more wardens on duty, that'll be stopped, and hopefully it'll bring in more tourism as well. So, I mean, deal with the small things first and then get on with the bigger things.
Just as we talked about health skins a while ago, Rosary, a listener called in to tell the Fianna Fáil candidate that if they leave y'all in the same state as they left it, the country, then don't call to my door. So straight away, you're in trouble. But, you know, I suppose that goes for everyone, really. I suppose whatever party you're with, there's a history there, be it good, bad or different. And, you know, how do you get over that?
Well, I was as angry as anybody else. I mean, I lost my job at the time. My marriage went. I mean, nobody suffered in personally in so much as I have. But you have to pick yourself up and you have to try and make things better. And that's what I'm trying to do. So it is a tough one. I agree. They certainly made a mess of things. I'd be the first person to say it. But I think Micheál Martin's approach since then has been extremely responsible in the confidence and supply. He put the country before the party in the last number of years in order to ensure that the country would get back on its feet. Now, when Enda Kenny was saying keep the recovery going, even I was scratching my head and saying, what recovery? Because certainly I didn't see it in my pay packet when I got back to work. But yeah, it's been a very difficult time, and I wouldn't want to deny that. And certainly looking around y'all has suffered enormously and needs a lot of attention. You know, inward investment would be great. Keeping jobs locally would be great. Having money flow, because that's the multiplier effect. If I have a job, I'm spending money in the Red Barn. I'm going downtown for coffee. I'm buying clothes locally. I'm going to the local supermarkets. I'm not going to bother going up to Mahon or Middleton if I can, you know, get to pop downtown and get what I want. So, you know, it's a knock-on effect. I mean, I put my hat in the ring in order to make things better. That's my ultimate goal. I've done it in a voluntary capacity for the last 10 years with the All Radio, trying to plug every local organisation, including the acting club and everything, you know, all the local. And it has a great community spirit. You know, Y'all for All is amazing. I mean, the community spirit in Y'all is just second to none. So I wouldn't criticise that for a second. But it just needs that extra injection of cash, and it has to come from the government.
I suppose, John, in a sense, standing for the government party, when they're in power, is always the hardest thing, you know, because people are just throwing at you, you know, stuff. At the moment, I suppose the Children's Hospital, even today, the chairman resigned, and there's a bit of a big flurry and all the radio stations today, you know. And I suppose, you know, how do you deal with that?
I suppose for my part, standing as a local candidate in a local election, I would like to talk to people about local issues. I would hope to be talking to people about all their local worries. National issues certainly are a big worry for everyone. The Children's Hospital has run over budget. But, like, if someone has a concern like that, certainly talk to me about it. I can pass it on to David Stanton. I can talk to people about that. I suppose what we have to remember is that I came back to Y'all from college in 2008. I job offers to stay in Galway, and I job offers to go to London, where I'd done a year of work experience, and I came back to Y'all. And in 2009, the hotel where I was working went to short time. And I stuck around Y'all then, and I hope that things will get better. And the Fine Gael government led this country out of the recession. We now have a very fast-growing economy. We have a very low rate of unemployment. Things are going well in the country. People talk about traffic on the main roads, and that's probably a problem of success, that there's much more people working now, that there's more traffic on the roads. And we have to look at it like that. And I suppose, as that caller rang in and said that, it's not going to be easy representing any party going to any door, because when you knock on a door, people don't put a flag on their door as to who their allegiances are some of the time. And you just have to look at, I suppose, past the party and at the people when it's on a local election to some degree. And that'd be how I feel about it, that yes, I'm running for Fine Gael, and yes, I'm a Yall man, and sometimes you have to strike a balance between the two of them.
Okay, and finally, Shane. Shane, I suppose Sinn Féin changed their leader a couple of months ago, and Mary Lou really hasn't set it on fire. It hasn't happened for her as of yet anyway.
She's doing a very good job, I think. She's new to the job. She's getting Sinn Féin is an all-Ireland party, so she's got to take care of what's happening up the north. She's got to take care of what's happening down the south. So I think she's doing a good job so far. Sinn Féin hasn't been in government. Other parties have been in government for the past 70 years. We have a different way of doing things. I think they're better. Sinn Féin is always growing, and it's growing more dramatically now than it ever has done before. Let me see. There's problems in the country. Nurses being the most obvious at the moment. The nurses are out there. They're not looking for a pay raise. Just restoration of what they had when their pay was cut and never restored. If the nurses were paid adequately, we'd keep them in Ireland. And I mean, if you don't pay people properly, they'll go somewhere else. If you had, like, can you imagine going into Mary Lou and telling her that, whoops, we've overspent our budget by €1 billion? I don't think anybody would like that. We've got the homeless problems, housing, the waiting lists, the defence forces. Even the defence forces, a very proud job to have, but they're damn near on the poverty list. Some of the defence forces are so badly paid that they're entitled to the family income supplement. I mean, that's just plain wrong.
But Shane, you mentioned there Sinn Féin haven't been in government in 90 years, but like they refused to go into government the last time. They refused. They weren't going to go with any of the two parties that are here, Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. Fianna Fáil, I suppose, to be fair to them, they did put their differences aside. While not going into government, they certainly, the confidence and supply agreement has kept a stable government for the last number of years. So, it's very easy to talk about stuff, but you must, there's a time you must get off the fence.
Sinn Féin, for the next, as I see it, Sinn Féin, next time round, will end up in government. As it stands, Fine Gael, they may go into government with Fine Gael. As long as Micheál Martin is there, they definitely won't go into government with Micheál Martin, because he's come out and said he doesn't want them there.
So is Fine Gael.
But Fine Gael, you can see the difference. Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin. Fianna Fáil under Micheál Martin won't. Fianna Fáil under somebody else might do. Fine Gael are saying they won't, but they might.
So it's a bit like Brexit, they're saying they want them. But anyway, yeah. I'm gone way over time now, so I just give the three of you a minute each, really, just to finish off, and we'll start with Susan. Sorry, Rosalie.
I've got a new name now.
I know.
Well, like I said, my interest is in helping your people and the surrounding areas, of course. I've had a lot of contact with people in Ballymacoda through the swimming, the swimming thing that goes on every year, the swimming school out in the Strand, Long Strand. I have huge interaction with people in Ladies Bridge. I lived in Killa, loved Killa. Gosh, I was on the council, parish council there for years, and with Father Broderick, a lot of you might remember him. And of course I've a lot of interaction with McGeely and the surrounding areas, so I guess I'd have everybody's best interest at heart in trying to get as much as I could get done for them locally. Any issues, make myself available and accessible, and I'm good at writing the old letters for people and making the phone calls and trying to get things done. I do have a track record in that, but like that again, I suppose it's up to people for themselves to make up their own mind on the day who they want to vote for, and but all I can say is I'll do my best.
Thanks, Rosalie. John?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everyone who's listened to us today. I feel that I'm an energetic individual. I have a lot of empathy with people. I look forward to this campaign. It's going to be going up to the 24th of May, so we've a nice time to campaign and to tell people what we think about stuff and how we feel about things, and listen to how you feel about things and listen to what you want to tell us. I'll be knocking on your door soon, and I'll be canvassing for your votes, and I want to give you all the representation it needs. We don't have the representation we need at the moment. Y'all deserves more than representation it has. It has one councillor only, and Mary Linen has done a great job in y'all, but she needs more help in y'all and the surrounding areas to give us what we need. And I know that my integrity, my hard work and my empathy, combined with my background in hotel, catering and tourism, make me someone who can help push you all forward and the surrounding areas forward even further, and that with your votes we can make that a reality.
Thanks. Thanks very much, John. Shane?
Well, I'm working with a good team at the moment. We have Pat Buckley, the TD, the local TD. We have Daniel, the local councillor, and hopefully myself then. We do work hard. We get around to everywhere in East Cork. We'll tackle local issues first, because that's basically why people want us there. Right now and all the time, we talk to everyone, and we've got two ears and one mouth, so we listen twice as much as we talk. So in short, I'll work tirelessly for all the people of East Cork, and to anyone from Poland, my apologies if I mangle this. Prosha namina gwo sovac. Hopefully that means please vote for me. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you at the doors.
Well, the three of you, thanks very much to the three of you. It was a pleasure, to interview the three of you. No doubt we'll be talking again before the 24th of May, and maybe after the 24th of May, with the help of God. And as I say, thanks very much for coming in.